So we're going to talk about joy living. Joy living in the sense of I want to live full, I want to live flat out for the things of God, I want to burn out bright. Maybe you've heard some of these phrases before, but I tell you what I don't want a boring everyday life after God. One that's just like, well, I kind of fit him in, or one that's just like an upgrade. And when it suits me, I switch the channel on like it's a good TV show, or when it suits me, I give them a call like I do with a good friend when I need them. No. I want a lifestyle. I want it to affect every aspect of me. In fact, I want to go head first, deep diving into this whole thing so that my whole life revolves around the joy of Jesus and it affects every single thing I do. And I live right there. Let me give you a verse today in terms of this new way to live. Matthew 10, verses 7 and 8. It says, as you go, this was Jesus speaking to the early disciples. He says, I'm sending you out, guys. I'm sending you out. We're going to go do some damage against the enemy. We're going to go love some people with a love that they've never seen before. And he says, but as you go, proclaim the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, now freely give. I'm like, wow. Okay, just pause for a second and just think of some of these things that he's saying. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. It's not pray for the sick, it's heal the sick. It's not pray for the dead, it's raise the dead. It's cleanse the lepers, drive out the demons, freely receive, now freely give. In other words, you've got this whole thing, and so it's time to go for it. It's like we have everything we need. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is Jesus, and Jesus lives in our heart, and he's propelling us forward, and he's tuning us up, and he's saying, come on, live all out with me, and let's transform this broken, horrible world with incredible love, incredible joy, and incredible peace. And let's bring the kingdom of God everywhere we go. And this is the challenge. We've got to stop thinking small. We've got to stop thinking small. And the first step is obviously realizing our joy is in Jesus and not in our circumstances. And now suddenly our joy becomes our strength. And now we can start to live in joy. And we can start to affect the world around us. And we can start to become like Jesus. And we start to honor his words where he said, go and do greater things than me. And that's the DNA of every Christian. Whether we run from it, hide from it, that is really what's going on in our hearts. So today, we're going to start to think bigger. We're going to start to go after this thing. We're going to start to get greater. There's a couple of things I want us to think about from Matthew 10. The number one is we are now part of the kingdom. We're part of God's kingdom. And now that we're part of his kingdom, we have a kingdom message. Because it says, go proclaim this message. So you have a kingdom message. It's one that God wants to transform things. He wants to raise the dead. He wants to cleanse the lepers. He wants to heal the sick. He wants to transform. He wants to shake up this world. In fact, what he really wants is to bring heaven to earth. Amen? That is his desire. And he wants to do it through us. We have kingdom power. We're not people that are in the kingdom of God and don't have the kingdom's power. We now have the king's power. And so our goal is to bring a kingdom message with kingdom power. And let's affect the people around us and let's see it demonstrated and let's see it move in our world. And it's rooted in love because it does everything and we do everything love in love. And our lives have now suddenly got a greater purpose. We could say it like this. As children of God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and we are here to literally change the world. But we're not going to do it unless we understand who we are in Christ, what we have, and that our weapon is joy. Joy is literally our weapon. Joy is what calls us forward. Our joy in Jesus is what allows us to say, just like Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, I will endure the cross. For the joy that's set before me, I will transform the world. I will change the world. And that is what he says to us, and that's what we have the privilege of doing as well. For the joy that's before us, we can endure and we can transform this world. This stinky, broken, terrible, horrible world that's full of all sorts of different things, we can get in there, we can get into the mess, and we can see people that are evil and broken and disjointed and disconnected suddenly become alive in Christ. Wow, what a privilege. And so that is what we are going after today. And in fact, I think if we stopped right now, we would have more than enough, but we're going to go more because there is more. So number one, it's time to live differently. Look, here's what I want us to think about. Could we start to shake ourselves from the stuckness? You know what I mean? Like shaking ourselves from just being like stuck here and just feeling a bit bored and feeling a bit restricted and feeling a bit this and feel that. And I'm talking more than just COVID. I'm talking about what holds us back. I'm talking about what keeps us kind of restricted in our thinking and our actions. I mean, like we talked about Paul and Silas last week. I mean, what way do you have to live where you get yourself in prison and all you want to do is sing and rejoice? I mean, something had changed in their lives. Something had changed in their hearts. And I'm saying exactly the same for us. Like, where do we have to do? Where do we have to go? What do we have to say? Who do we have to hang around with? So when we get to work, it's not just about doing 9 to 5. It's about who can I reach? Who can I save? Who can I heal? Who can I love? It's not just about waking up every day and going, wow, you know, I just got to try and get through today because it's just going to be another day. It's like, Lord, what are we going to do together? Whose lives are we going to impact? I mean, I got to tell you the story again. A month ago, I don't know what it was, but we were doing this grant thing. In fact, I know what it is. I'm talking nonsense. I knew what it was. But we had this grant thing. And then the last thing we had like a tiny bit of money left to spend. We had it already allocated. And just whatever way it worked out, we couldn't allocate it for that. The grant stipulations changed. And we suddenly had to scramble and come up with something else. Because the guys were like, look, we want you to keep the funds, but you got to have something to do with it. And so we said, what are we going to do? I believe God was in the whole thing. And we started thinking about, look, there was refugees that came to our town a couple of years ago. Guys, we feel bad. We never reached out to them. We never did anything with them. Where were they from? Yeah, that's right, Syrian refugees. And within a month, we now have met them twice, and they've forever changed their lives. I hope that we're doing the same back to them. And all it started off was almost like an accident. It almost felt like a mistake. And then we started to dream. Then we started to believe, and we started to think differently. And it's the same with God. He says, look, guys, we can go through every day, and we can think small, live small, act small, do small, and never think anything kingdom whatsoever. But here's what we believe in Vibe, and here's what I want to get into your heart, that the book of Acts has no end. It literally has no amen at the end. In fact, I believe what the Lord wants is that it continues, and our hearts are that we would continue to write the story of the book of Acts, and maybe, just maybe, we would do it. And as we start to dream, as we start to have vision, as we start to pray, as we start to spend time with God, we start to get the stuff, and then we start to believe, wow, imagine if we could heal the sick. Imagine if we could raise the dead. Imagine if we could believe for cancer to go. Imagine if we could believe for Syrians to come along to Vibe and maybe meet the creator of the universe, Jesus. Wouldn't that be absolutely incredible? You have no idea what God can do once we start to believe, once we start to pray. But it's rooted in love. And if we don't do it in love, and if love is not our motivation, then we've lost everything. So it must be rooted in love. But once we do that, anything is absolutely possible. So here we go. What if you're stuck today? What if you're stuck in a cage and you're just living ordinary? What if you're just stuck in your ordinary old life and you're saying to yourself, I love all what you're saying, but that's not for me. Then I want to wrestle you out of that. I want to get you out of your stuckness. I went a few years ago to Tenerife. That's so much fun. I'm thinking about Tenerife right now, and I'm like, I want to just leave. But we went to Tenerife a few years ago, and they had one of those outdoor water parks. And I went to see the killer whales, the orcas. It was an incredible show. It was incredible what these guys have trained them to do. It was just nuts. But here's the bit that broke my heart in one sense. It's like they're in this small pool. But these animals, these mammals, are meant to travel the globe. They're meant to do hundreds and thousands of miles per day, no exaggeration. They're meant to do incredible things. And here they are stuck in a pool, just doing circles, trying to entertain a few people. And I tell you this, if our Christianity just comes down to us stuck in a pool, entertaining a few people on a Sunday, or doing a few church motions, or trying to keep our mom and dad happy, or trying to keep this person happy, or that person happy, or even, heaven forbid, try to keep God happy, we need to get out of that. Because we were not made for the pool, we were made for the ocean. Amen. That's what we were made for, and that's what you were made for. And so I don't know what it is that you've been stuck with, but I tell you what, we're going to break free today. I remember some testimony from my life 10, 15 years ago, my early 20s, late teens, and people would ask me things, will you share a testimony? My automatic answer was, don't think, just say no, because I was stuck. I was stuck with fear and doubt and worry and anxiety, and I didn't want to do it. And then I would start to dream of, like, maybe at a prayer time, I could actually pray. You know what I used to do? I used to pray the whole prayer through in my head first before it would come out, and I would do it about 3 times, and I would try to use old high English, because I thought if I don't pray it out sincerely, using the right words, saying the right things, then my prayers would be shut down. What a load of nonsense. But I was stuck with insecurities. I was stuck in a prison, and I had to get broken free. I used to see other people sharing stories, but I had no stories myself. And then one day, everything changed, because I said, enough is enough. And I said, Lord, break me out of this thing. Break me out. And it was through a series of events of praying at the front, praying at home, seeking the Lord, staying close to Him. And He suddenly started to break me out once the Holy Spirit started to move in my life. And guys, today, I want to break us free. I want to get us out of that silly, stuck thinking, and I want us to break out into all that God has called us to. You see, what about you today? My heart was yearning for more, and it's still yearning for more. Maybe you have broken out. Maybe you've been like doing great things for God. Maybe you've been stepping out. I'm telling you this, there's still more. And maybe you haven't, and you're starting to feel guilty and condemned. I tell you this, there is no condemnation. God just says, He's whispering, I love you, I love you, I love you. And the more that you know that He loves you, and the more that you love yourself, the more that you will love your neighbors. It's in the Bible, believe me. Once we get to know His love, it transforms everything about us. I said already, but Paul and Silas, they praised in their problems. This is ridiculous. How did they know to do that other than they'd been overwhelmed by the goodness of God, and the joy of the Lord has started to become their strength? And then when they start to get pressed down and they start to get kind of persecuted and held back and restricted, all that comes out is joy, because that's what's in their hearts. Guys, that's what I want. I hope that's what you want. When it came to the early disciples, what happened? Jesus calls them. They leave everything that they knew before. They didn't just do a half turn. They did an about turn, and they never looked back. Their lives were never the same again. They left everything for Christ. They said, we are holding nothing back. We're going for this. And our new life in Christ is one of constant discovery and constant growth. And here's our declaration and vibe. And maybe you haven't heard it, or maybe you've been around recently and you're like, I wasn't sure what that phrase meant. But let me tell you about Live Vibrant. This is one that God has put in our hearts way back from by 2007, 2006 when we birthed Vibe Young Adults, then 2007, 2008. There was this movement that started called Live Strong. I don't know if you remember. This athlete called Lance Armstrong. And basically his thing was this. He had cancer and he wanted to beat it. And he said, hey, I've come up with this motto, live strong. So no matter what circumstances we come your way, if we live strong, we can overcome. Now, we took it another notch and we said, look, you can live strong all you like, but sometimes life will just take you over. But we can live vibrant, because God has called us from John 10:10 to live an abundant life, to live a full life. And we just changed it into more vibe language, but it means the same thing. We want to live vibrant for God. We started off saying, want to be a young people on fire for God, living vibrant for Him. And then, of course, we dropped the young people. We just said, we just want to be a people. We want to be a people that would live vibrant. Doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter how old, doesn't matter if you're super young or super old or in between. We want to live vibrant in the things of God, and we want to make a difference in this world. And so that's what we're declaring over your heart today. Let's be people that would live vibrant. Let's be people that would live all out for the things of God. Let's be people that would live vibrant and bold and literally be bouncing in the things of God, because we have seen so much and we've heard too much to be anything different. Here's John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. That's bad news. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. Wow. This is what Jesus says. You'll have it more abundantly. Our faith in Jesus is not an upgrade. It's a new way of life, from death to literally full life. It doesn't go from death to just a tiny bit better. It doesn't even go from death to suddenly living. It goes from death to life to full life. It's absolutely incredible. God's just saying there's more, there's more, there's more. And don't settle for anything less, and don't hold back anything in your life. It's fullness and abundance. And it comes from this Greek word. And let me just give you a definition of it, because I believe it's going to just radically transform some things. And the Greek word is person. And here's what it means. It means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure, more, a quantity so abundant as to be considerably more than what one would expect or anticipate. This is the life that Jesus has won for us. This is the life that He has won for you and for me. He has won this for us. And if you're in Christ, then this is what He has for you. Don't settle for anything less. In other words, every day you're growing. Every day you're moving. Every day God's doing something new. But if you're not a Christian, then this is what He's got for you. Exceedingly abundantly, above all you can ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. This is a continuation of this word. It's the same root word. Or 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, that this is what the scripture would mean to say. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. If you love Him, there are no limits. If you love Him, you're off limits. And the actions of your life are off limits, in the sense of the love that you can just pour into other people's lives, the spirit that will move through you, the effect that you will have in this life, it will be off the charts. It will be uncomparable. It will be off no limits, no limits whatsoever. And the things that you saw Jesus do, we will do greater. You see, God was not messing about, and He wasn't just saying it because it was a good stand to motivate us. He absolutely believes it, and He writes it in His word, because this Greek word, person, tells us it's just getting better and better and better and better. And that's the the life of a Christian? And have you experienced this life yet? Why? Because fear, worry, doubt, insecurity, all the things I used to feel, maybe all the things you currently feel or used to feel, can't be bothered, all want to keep you as a prisoner to your life as you know it, living low. Living the way you used to live. Living just low. Living like, well, you know, I know it's for somebody else. And I know I could do it, but I can't do it. And I don't want to do it. Or I'm not interested to do it. I don't know what the reasons are you don't do it. But all of them want to bring us back to a place of fear. All of them want to bring us back to a place where we just feel there's no other choice. Because there's only love and fear. They're the two opposites. There's only two. And you're either rooted in fear. And it's like, I got to do for me. I got to hold on for me. I can't give to anybody else. Or we're going to be rooted in love that says, there's always more coming, so I can give more. I'll give you my last because I know God's got me covered. I'll give you more, even if at my expense, because God's got me covered. It's just more and more and more. And this is the life that Jesus won for us. And guys, just for a moment, I want us to just pause and take this in. He has won a life for us that is abundant. If you're not living in that life today, it's not because you're a terrible Christian. It's maybe just maybe because you haven't realized you can get out of that stuckness. It's not because you're an awful person or even your actions, because God's bigger than your actions. He's bigger than your decisions. He's bigger than your thoughts. But there comes a time in our lives where we simply have to say, hey, God, reveal it more to me. Lift off the scales. Lift off anything that would block me, anything that would hold me back, anything that would prevent me from seeing all that you have won for me. Because, Lord, I want to step into this full life. I need to step into this full life because you've won it for me and I'm going after it. You see, it's almost like stages whenever it talks about abundant living or abundant life. The first part is coming to know Christ. And then you come to know Christ, but good news, you don't leave straight away. You don't go to heaven straight away. You've got a life to live here. And God says, I don't want you to live a life just the way you used to live it before or even a tiny bit of life. I want you to realize every day it's getting better. Every day it's becoming more abundant. Every day it's becoming more exceedingly. Every day it's above all you could imagine or think. Every day it's transforming. And God says, this is the life that I'm speaking over your heart. So let me challenge you with just a few questions as we're getting into it today. How is your life with God right now? Honest answer, honest thought. How is your life with God right now? Does it keep getting better? And we're going to look at what that means in just a minute. And is there anything holding you back? Because if there is, God wants to remove it. He wants to heal it. He wants to restore it. He wants to rebuke it. Whatever needs to take place on that thing, he wants to get rid of it because he wants you to be free in him. Point number two, life to the full, life abundantly. What does that really mean? Come on, we have to think about this. Otherwise, we're going to say to yourself, life to the full. Okay, I'm going for it. And that must mean I don't even sleep. It must mean like I just pray 24/7. It must mean I don't eat because if you're a good Christian, you fast. It must mean all those things. Or maybe you've got to the other side. And it's like, well, it must mean that I've got loads of money. And I'm going to be making millions every day. Have all the cars that I want. I'm going to own my own house. I don't know. I'm going super extreme. But for you, it might just be you think to yourself, well, I'll never be sick. I'll never go through a trial. I won't even have to look for a boyfriend. They'll just turn up. I won't have to even look for a girlfriend. They'll just be sent through Amazon. I don't know what you're thinking, but we can get to those silly thoughts. We can get to those silly places. But hey, if you've lived long enough as a Christian or even as a real person, we live in a real world with real issues, with real sin, but Jesus has paid the highest price. And now sin no longer has to control us, but we can be free from sin. We're no longer under the weight of law. We're under grace. And now suddenly we can live an abundant life. But it's better than you think. It's different than you think. And so maybe you're thinking of it as about power and influence and with riches and wealth, and it's about comfort and it's about super health and perfection and all that stuff sounds really, really good. But here's why I'm really thankful that it's not about those things. Because what happens if you are you're poor? What happens if you're unhealthy? What happens, and it's no fault of your own, what happens if you've got low ability or you're not as smart as the next person or you've got low opportunities and you can't get them the same as somebody else? Then does that mean I can have that abundant life? Well, if it was based on those things we just mentioned, then you can't have full life because you're born in the wrong place, you've got the wrong ability, you've got the wrong opportunities, life just wasn't fair to you, and suddenly you can't be what God's called you to be. Well, thank the Lord that's not the case. He's called us to something even better. Can I tell you about some of the things he's called us to better and some of the things that he promises in this abundant life? It's purpose. It's calling. It's destiny. It's a fresh start. And it's more. It's a boldness to live life. It's a boldness to not hold back. It's a boldness to believe that all that God has for you and to actually step into it and actually start living like it. This is what God has called us to. This is the full life that God wants us to realize, that we can have everything in Christ. And it doesn't matter by circumstances. It doesn't matter about what you have or don't have in terms of possessions. It's bigger than that, greater than that. And if you have possessions and if you have the stuff and you've got the car and you've got all the things that you want, so be it. But let me give you a warning. Be careful that it doesn't start to get in the way again. And watch, be careful that good things don't start to become bad things in your pursuit of trying to live full for Christ. Do you remember that story of the rich young ruler? And he said, I'll give up everything, just be with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, that's awesome. He says, would you give up your wealth and give it all away to the poor and be a blessing to everybody else around you? He says, wow, I could do everything, but I couldn't do that. And it's such a sad story, such a quick story that Jesus shares about a rich young ruler. But it's such a sad story because the guy never comes to Jesus because of the things that he had. And just be careful and be mindful that the more stuff that you have, the more it can get in the way of our pursuit of Christ. Jesus lived lowly in terms of possessions so he could live highly in the terms of the things of God. He wanted his impact to be really eternal. He wanted his impact to have no other distractions, no other things in the way. And it doesn't mean that we got to go home and sell everything, but it does mean that we got to go home and say, God, I want all of you. I'm sold out for you. And if anything has to go, so be it, because all I want is you. I'm not focused on those things anymore. I want a full life. And if I want a full life, my full life is in Jesus. There's just no other way. I think we know this stuff, but we've got a problem. Anybody realize we've got a problem? Because I think as Christians, we know this stuff. As Christians, we know I should give everything to God. I should be all in for him. I should pray and I should believe and I should heal the sick and I should cast out demons and I'll raise the dead. And we're believing for all these things. But for whatever reason, we don't seem to ever get engaged in it, or very rarely. And so we live for missions trips. We live for those worship nights. We live for those one-off moments in the year where God just puts us on our back and we maybe encounter the Holy Spirit, and it's incredible. But what do we do the rest of the 364 days of that year if it's not a leap year? Like, what do we do the rest of those days? And so I think we've got a problem. And here's how the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Point number three, and we're nearly done. Commitment issues. Here's what I find, and maybe you find the same thing. We are smothered with so many other alternatives to Jesus, it's hard to see him anymore. We're smothered with so many other alternatives. There are so many other things that want us. I mean, there's so many other things in our gaze, so many other things, especially in the Western world. We are overcome with blessings and options and abilities and opportunities that it's like so hard some days to even concentrate on Jesus. Ever find that? It's like I got to go here, there, and everywhere because I got to do this and I'm in pursuit of this and pursuit of that thing. And even if I'm not, it's like I'm bombarded with marketing opportunities, phone calls, text messages, like people. It's just opportunity, smothered. It's like hard to breathe sometimes. It's hard to breathe. And when it comes down to it, I think we can find ourselves in a commitment issue. We can find ourselves in a relationship issue, and we're not sure how to commit. We're not sure how to stay committed. And then we start to compare ourselves, and we start to get bombarded with every other thing. And we start to say to ourselves, what is this all about? And so I wrote down just a few things to challenge our hearts. Everything seems to want a relationship with us. Ever noticed how, like, I'm just after that car, I'm after that money, I'm after those clothes, I'm after that house, I'm after success. I'm after success and I want it really, really badly because I want people just to realize that I'm not who I used to be, I'm successful. And I want those awards and I want those accolades and I want all the stuff because I want people to realize and to know and to believe that my life has been successful and it's counted for something. And so I need the house and I need the car and I need the money and I need all of those things. Otherwise, I don't feel worthy and other people aren't going to see me as worthy. And so we start to go for all of these things. And before you know it, I've literally no time. I have no time for God. I've got no time for the things of God. And I start to get consumed with everything else. And then I started to think about social media, how it wants all of my time and it wants all of my attention. And I tell you what, it wants me really bad because I start to get notifications. You ever find that? And so now what I have to do is sometimes turn the notifications off. I got to go on do not disturb mode because it just won't work. Or maybe I got to put it somewhere else or sign out sometimes or disconnect sometimes because social media just wants me really, really bad because it wants my attention because attention means money. Or have you ever noticed about your phone and the relationship you've got with your phone? And I'm speaking from experience, so don't think that I'm speaking from like condescending or saying, hey, look at me or this or that. But I'm telling you what, your phone wants you really bad, really, really bad. You ever notice how you never let it run out? You always charge it. You ever notice how you never let it go too far from you? It's always close to you. Ever noticed how you never leave it out? It's always with you. I mean, it's like, how rare has it been in the last 2 years, let's say, that you've went out of the house and not brought your phone? I would hazard a guess that's happened very, very rarely. And if it does happen, you drive back home again to get your phone. I mean, how many times have you got into the car and your phone doesn't have any battery? No worries, because you got a car charger in the car now. I mean, there's just no worries. Or how many times have your phone been needing some extra charge, but no worries, because now you've got a portable power bank that you bring with you, and you've got a big enough one that can charge it multiple times just in case, because now your phone's got a bit old and it doesn't last a full charge, so you got to bring a power bank and see it charge a few times a day. It's crazy. It's crazy how much we love our phones. It's crazy how much of a relationship we have with our phones. I don't know if you ever thought about this thing, but it's just plain weird, isn't it? Because the only person you can have a relationship with is a person. It is a real life breathing person. And a phone is not that. But it wants our attention, and it's closer maybe than any other relationship that we've got in our lives. And something is really wrong. And I think we've got to make some changes, because I want to step into that abundant life. I want to step into those things that God's called me to. I don't want to have relationship issues. I don't want to have commitment issues. I want to commit to Jesus, and that's it. And so it might mean sacrificing some other things. Do not disturb some other things. Putting some other things outside. Changing some routines, changing some priorities, because I don't want it getting in the way anymore. It's time to break free. It's time to break free from these things, because otherwise they want to take up our moments and take up our times. And I want to be a person that is called for the purposes of God, that understands what God's called me to, and I'm ready to step into all the things that He has got for me. No more distractions, no more things trying to get me. And you know what I discover is that my mind gets flooded with other things. My mind gets bombarded, so I stop thinking about what God wants me to think about. I stop thinking about what God has for me. I start to get bombarded by self-image and by what I should look like and what I should have and what I need to do and this and that thing. And I start to get bombarded with what's popular and what's not and what's in and what's out. And I start to think to myself, right, okay, I need to get all these things. And before you know it, you just get sucked into this. And then you've got no time. And then you've got no energy. And then what do you do with God? You can't do what you need to do with them. Here's what I found with the results. Overworked and exhausted will be hoping it brings security. You're just overworked and exhausted, and you're just hoping, above all hope, that it might bring the security that you want. You're busy trying to afford something that won't make us happy, but you just feel like you need it because that's just the way the system works, so I have to get that thing. And how many times have we got it and then we're like, well, even that good, like, or just breaks, and you're like, I didn't even need that thing. Comparing ourselves to everybody else, but we're unique. We got to realize, we got to stop comparing ourselves to everybody else, because we are unique. And so your quirkiness and your this and your that, it's actually quite good. And you could actually use it for the kingdom of God. And actually, we could be quite a friend for doing some outreach. Guys, we got to understand what God says about us. And that's what we need. And to do that, we need some time with Him. Because to build our relationship, we need time with Him. And so I'm just going to encourage us, let's make some commitment changes. Let's make some commitment changes, some relationship changes, where we say to ourselves, hey, all those other things are good, but I don't want a relationship with my phone. It's never going to love me the way God loves me. I don't want a relationship with my stuff, because it can't love me back. It's got no feelings, no emotions. It can't speak to me good. I mean, you might get Siri coming back to you, but it's digitizing. It's no good. And it doesn't sound friendly. It doesn't sound nice. I want a real voice that understands me and knows me. I want God's voice. I want His voice, because He ultimately knows me. And so what happens when we have no time left for Jesus, because life has become so full? So we've got no full life. I mean, isn't it amazing that your life could be full, and yet you don't know fullness of life? Isn't it amazing that you can have your life full of loads of different things, and yet you just feel like your life is empty and it's not of no value and no importance, and you're a Christian? Come on, let's be real. This happens to all of us. We feel like this at moments, maybe even every day or every week or every year, and we have to say to ourselves, what is that? And I believe it's like an emptiness that God wants to fill us. It's an emptiness that the Holy Spirit wants to do something. And maybe we're on the run, but really we're dying for a real rest. And so what if today we simply trusted Jesus, believed His word, and did the work of the kingdom? What if we committed to Jesus only? Imagine that for a radical idea. What if we committed to Jesus only and we're willing to give everything else up if required? In fact, it maybe is required. I'm willing to commit to Jesus only. What if we made our faith our whole lives? Let's think about this. This so convicted me this week. Is our biggest struggle in our pursuit of living full for God the fact that we're trying to do our faith part-time, or we're trying to put it in a box and I do it on Sunday, I do it at prayer time, and I do it on a missions trip, but the rest of the year I'm just trying to do me? I mean, is our faith so hard and our lives so hard because we've compartmentalized everything, and we've got like our working life and we've got our God life and we've got this, and we wouldn't define it just like that? But when we really ask ourselves the question, how much does our faith intertwine into every decision? How much does our faith really affect everything that we do? How much does our faith actually impact our lives? How much does our faith actually impact to the extent of which we're living like Christ and we are actually doing the stuff of the kingdom? We're actually doing the work. We're actually doing the kingdom work. We're bringing that kingdom message and we're doing that kingdom work. We're actually seeing people healed and set free and delivered, not because of us, but because of Him working through us. But that's how we ask ourselves the right questions. That's how we know we're bearing the right fruit, because God's doing stuff through us. Matthew 6, 25, 26. This is what it says. If you decide for God, Message Translation, if you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about on the table at mealtimes. That you don't fuss about that, or whether there's clothes in your closet are in fashion. You're not worried about those things, because what does it matter? I'll wear whatever, I'll do whatever, I'll get whatever. I'm not worried about that. God will supply all of these things. And if you've been on a mission trip, or you've seen that firsthand, if you have, where you go and you're just totally fixated and focused on God and He provides everything, and it feels like this is the most full way to live. It is, and that's what He wants us to do every day. You don't worry any longer about everyday things. And this is what happens when we start to pursue the things of God. We start to realign our attention and we start to focus on Him only, and we start to commit to Him fully instead of committing to a whole load of other things. We don't worry about everyday things. So therefore, we're not after everyday things. So therefore, we don't get distracted by having the money and the cars and the houses, because everyday things don't really matter. God will take care of that. I'm after supernatural things. I'm after the things of the kingdom. Verse 33, it goes on to say this. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax. Wow, imagine that. Imagine your life, you could just relax and it would be good. It would be godly. It wouldn't just be you being lazy. You can relax. You don't have to be so preoccupied with getting so that you can respond to God's giving. We can just relax on the getting, because God's going to give. God's going to give. He's going to provide. He's going to do this thing, because I'm all in my faith. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things. But you know God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. So what do we do now? What do we do now, knowing that God says, I want you to live joyfully. I want you to have a joy living. I want you to live joyfully. I want you to live in the kingdom. I want to see miracles, signs, and wonders flow through you. I want you to know that there is more, and that every day you can step into fullness, and it just keeps on getting better, and it's greater than sickness, and it's greater than possessions, and it's greater than your circumstances. It's a fullness and a satisfaction inside that just ever increases. And in the midst of whatever you're going through, whether it be pain or whether it be fun, you can reach out and you can make a difference in this world, because every single aspect of you is impacting a broken world with God's incredible love. This is what He's calling us to. And so what do we do now? I think of two things as we're finishing: the Holy Spirit and being intentional. I think intentionality is so key now today. I think if we're not intentional with our faith, we're going to be taken over by every other thing that's trying to get our attention, because everything wants us. Literally everything wants us. Even the things that we think are good want us. They want to take every moment, every down moment, every down thought, every waking moment, every waking thought. They just want to captivate every single area of our lives and just wants to dominate us. And I'm saying this, God, I want you instead. So I've got to be intentional with that. But I can't do it my own strength. And so the second most important thing is this, the Holy Spirit. And I think He's everything. Here's what it says in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. While Apollos, an early disciple, was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, watch this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Question mark. They answered, no. We have not even heard of the Holy Spirit. What do you mean, Paul? They're literally saying, we've not even heard of the Holy Spirit. And so let me just tell you just for a moment what we're meaning here. Whenever you ask Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. You know this stuff. Come on. We know this. But there's more in the Holy Spirit that God has in store for us. There's a fullness in life. Because I think one of the biggest challenges that we face, I have faced it, maybe you face the same thing, is control. I want control in my life. I want to be in control. And yet when you come to Christ, you literally realize, wow, I can't have control. And so the battle then becomes of how much control will I give him? In the early days of my Christian walk, I wanted to give him more control, but I was scared to. I was worried what he'd do with me. I didn't understand his love correctly. I didn't understand his grace. Then when I took a risk in faith, I realized, wow, he'll only ever do with me what he would do with his son, which is extraordinary and amazing because he loves me so much more than I could ever even love myself. Remember, it's exceedingly abundantly. It's a fullness of life where he takes me into greater things, not worse things, but better things. He's doing something even better than I could ever possibly imagine or think because he knows me better than I know myself. And so when I stepped into that, I suddenly realized, wow, it is so much better to give control to him than to keep control. And so Paul turns around to these early disciples and says, hey, you've given your life to Jesus. I know that. But have you got the Holy Spirit? In other words, have you given him full possession of your life? Have you said to him, hey, you take over me. Holy Spirit, you start to take charge of me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, overflow me. When the Holy Spirit comes into us as new believers, he comes and takes residence in our lives. And then when we say, Holy Spirit, take over, he takes over our lives. And that's what we need if we're going to be truly effective in the things of God. We don't have time today to talk about it, but I ask you to go on a journey. And next time we'll talk about it, about the Holy Spirit, about the effect that he can have on your life. Talk to him today. Say, Lord, I didn't realize maybe I needed the Holy Spirit. I didn't know there was more in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and fill my life? Holy Spirit, would you come and reveal to me more about you? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an it. He's a person. Will he bless you and anoint you? Absolutely. But he's just like Jesus, only even better because he's not limited to a physical body. And he's here today on earth and he's here to make a difference in your life. And I tell you, from my life to yours, the day I met the Holy Spirit, Jesus was incredible. The Holy Spirit came in and he saved me and he transformed me. But guess what I realized? I realized I've got to live a life now. And I still felt awkward. I still felt insecure. I still felt broken, even though I was saved. And then I understood the Holy Spirit and I became aware of the Holy Spirit. And I invited him to my life and he transformed me. And I went from shy and no good and couldn't do this and didn't believe in that to suddenly powerful in the things of God. And every day it just kept getting better until now I'm doing an online YouTube stream. You just cannot believe how I would have died with anxiety if you'd have told me to do that at 19 or 20. But what God can do with you, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could ever imagine the things that God wants to do in you through his love. Come on, we're going to pray today. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's tuned in. I thank you, Lord, for everybody that's here. And I pray humbly that for those that don't know you, that they would put their trust in you. This is what it's all about. Lord, can we trust you? Can we trust you? Can we trust you? I pray today that they can trust you and not only trust you, but give them that they can give you their whole lives. And I pray today as they would do that, that Jesus, you would be faithful and you would take away their sins, give them a future in heaven, but also abundant life today. And they begin to step into that. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now, if you need that, I pray, Holy Spirit, for any person that needs it, that they would say yes to Jesus. And right now, Holy Spirit, you would transform their heart and transform their lives. Lord, I pray for ourselves as Christians. I pray for everybody else that maybe knows God. I say, come on, if we're stuck, if we're held back in any form, if we're not stepping into all the things that God's got for us, we might realize that now our joy is in Jesus, but will we live out this joyful life? Will we live out this abundant life? Will we live out the life that God's called us to? That one of Matthew 10:8 that says, I'm here to raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. I'm here to freely give as I've received. Come on, I'm here to make a lasting impact, an eternal impact on the world. I pray, Holy Spirit, for encounters today in your presence. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you would encounter your people and our lives would never be the same again. Give us a top up. Give us an overflow. Just give us a rejuvenation that we will never be the same again. And then tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because we need this fullness of life. We need it. The world needs it. And you've called us to it. Holy Spirit, would you move mightily in every household, in every person? You're transforming our thinking. So now when we get into problems, we start to praise. Now when we follow Jesus, we give him everything. Now when we find ourselves in work, we're here to restore joy. We're here to see people saved. We're here to see the gospel move. Now when we go out for a run or we go to the shop or we go here, we go there, we're there with a kingdom message and then we're there with kingdom power. Lord, I pray, empower your people today. Transform us and challenge us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.